The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to dive straight into our Bible study for this morning. And just a quick thing, I know some of you are not used to our two-service format that started last week. Just so you know, if you have children that are in here, they are welcome to stay. We don't do dismissal during service anymore. If you come with kids and your kids want to participate in children's programming, you can slip out now and go get them signed in. But we want to encourage you each week at 11, if you'll go straight to the desk, check your children in, and then come into the Bible study time. And that way, you know what's going on. See, some of you are waiting, didn't know. So if you want to go ahead and have your kids get plugged into to children's programming, you can do that right now. Let me pray for us, and we're going to dive in. We have ushers who have Bibles. If you'd like a Bible to use during our Bible study, they're available in both English and Spanish, depending on which one you need. And if you don't own a Bible, this is our gift to you. Just raise your hand, and our ushers will give you a Bible. All right, let me pray, and we're going to dive in. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for your word. We pray that as we study your word today, that we will see your truth come to life, that we will be transformed by what you have to share with us. God, help me to speak clearly and communicate what you've laid on my heart. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week we started this brand new series as we start up the school year called Hope is Here. As I've already stated, Hope Hill Church is about declaring that hope exists in who Jesus Christ is. We are looking these next several weeks at the I am statements of Jesus Christ. In the book of John, one of the most intimate of all the gospel books being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John is one of the most personal books written in the Bible. It gives us a really close, intimate picture of who Jesus is, of how much he loves us, of how close he was to people, and how close he wants to be to us as individuals. And we can see a clear picture that our hope, if placed in him, will never let us down. There's a lot of things we can hope for in life. How many of you are still hoping for that new TV? I asked you last week. Some of you may have got it. How many of you are hoping for the iPhone 6? How many of you are hoping? How many of you already got the iPhone 6? Okay, one of you, two of you. All right, so there are all kinds of things we can hope for in life, but let's face it, a lot of things that we hope for will just only satisfy for a temporary time. And then there's the next latest and greatest. Next September, we'll have another announcement about another iPhone. There'll be new curved and wear-shaped TVs that are going to come out. There's always going to be something different. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love never changes. His love is real for us now, here, today. And we want you to know that. We want you to help us declare that hope to this world that is so desperate in need of hope. And we want to be that beacon on a hill, shining God's light so brightly, making him famous so that all can come to put their hope and trust in him. Last week, we looked at the first I am statement. Now, this I am statements are significant because in the Old Testament, God was known as the great I am. God has always been. He just is. He is I am. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, he very intentionally used these same words to describe himself. The Pharisees and religious leaders of the day came up to him. They were asking him about the teachings of Moses and the teachings of the Old Testament scripture. They were trying to figure out who this man of God was, who this Jesus guy was. And Jesus said these words. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He very intentionally was saying, "I am God in flesh." John chapter 1 verse 14 said that God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The message says that Jesus moved into the neighborhood so that he could come and have a relationship with you and me. And today, we're going to continue our study looking at these I am statements. There are seven in the book of John that kind of point out that Jesus is God and something very personal about who Jesus is. Last week was I am the light of the world, and Jesus wants to be our light in our times of darkness to lead us through whatever it is in life that we're going through. And today, we're going to discover what it means for Jesus to be our good shepherd. So, you can turn to John chapter 10. We're going to be there and kind of in Psalm 23. So, if you want to put a place marker in either of those two places, you can go ahead and be prepared, and let's dive in. I keep thinking I see hair in my face, but it's just the glare of the light. So don't think I'm going crazy. I am on some heavy meds, but I'm not contagious. So if I cough a lot or if I'm batting at stuff, you know there's a reason. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and dive in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the who? The sheep. All right, so let's just get this straight. First of all, who is the good shepherd? Who is it? And who are the sheep? Us. Okay, so Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. What does this mean for us? We're going to break this down. First of all, I am the good shepherd. This statement first tells us that there is a good shepherd, and therefore there must be a what? A bad shepherd. Exactly. So we've got the good shepherd, and that's Jesus. And the gospel means good news. That's what the word gospel means. God wants us to declare good news to this world that needs hope. The good news is that Jesus is such a good shepherd that he is willing to do what? The second half of that verse. He's willing to lie down his life for us. Lay down his life for us. To take our place. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took our place, took our sin and our shame upon himself, and he put himself in our place. He is the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for us, his sheep. And there's also a bad shepherd. Let's face it, back in those times, shepherds were common. There were shepherds who would grow attached to their flock. They would take care of them. They would love them. They'd know them each by name. They'd take care of them. And at other times, there were just hired hands who would come in just to do a job, to get a paycheck, and to, you know, they didn't really care what happened to the sheep. If they lost one, oh well. But a good shepherd knew them by name. Now, there are good shepherds, and there are bad shepherds. In our world, we need to realize that there is a good shepherd, and that is Jesus. But there's also a bad shepherd. And in John 10:1, it says this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going in through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber is a phrase used to describe our enemy, the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our spirit, the enemy, Satan, the devil. Satan and devil is real. He's not just a cartoon character that wears a red suit, has a hooked tail and a pitchfork. Satan is real. He is alive and well today, and he roams the world seeking for anyone who he can devour. Satan is real, and he is not a good shepherd. He wants to sneak in and mess with our lives. His goal and his purpose from the beginning of time has been to attack anything that is near and dear to the Father, and that, first of all, is us, his sheep. And so he's going to come in and he's going to try to mess with us. He's going to try to interweave his lies into our life, try to convince us to follow him in his ways instead of God's ways. And he's been doing this from the beginning of time. It doesn't take long to look at our world and see that we live in a world full of darkness. You look at the stuff going on with ISIS. You look at the wars and the rumors of wars around the world. You don't even have to look far. You just look in our own neighborhoods. You look in our families. We see families being torn apart. We see marriages under attack. We see me struggling to not cough. Just a minute. Guys, did you mute me? That was good. We should have a cough signal. I'm about to cough right now. Mute it. Give me a second. Let me. All right, guys. We'll mute that out post-production. Okay, here we go. So, from the beginning, the enemy has been trying to get his way in, attacking the family, attacking marriages, trying to lead people to make wrong choices. And he's going to be seeking who he can devour. The way it's put in the scriptures in John 10, wow. Anybody have a cough drop? Somebody can sneak me one. That'd be great. Actually, it's not really sneaking. We're in front of everyone, are we? Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thank you. All right, John 10:10 says this. The thief's purpose, who's the thief? Satan, the devil, the enemy, the one who is trying to sneak into our sheepfold and mess with us. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them life and life to the full. Some versions say a rich and satisfying life. Some riches say an abundant life. The truth is that sometimes we think, well, my life's not so good, so Jesus must not be really coming through for me. So many times our interpretation of rich life is not the same as that lines up with God's. But the truth is that if we follow God, he will give us what truly is a rich and satisfying life. We will learn to live life in the midst of trials and struggles. He can show us how to have inner peace. He can show us how to get through even the toughest of times and how to be really at rest, at peace, and living what an abundant and full life truly is. If we learn to seek him first, he will give us the desire of our hearts because our desires will start to become his desires. And that is our goal as sheep follow a shepherd, to try to start to follow him and lead him. Now let's dive into a little trivia. First of all, again, the shepherd is Jesus in this illustration this morning. The sheep are us. Sheep are the most common animals appearing in Scripture, appearing 200 plus times, okay? Did you guys know sheep were in there that much? How many dog lovers out there? Dog lovers? Okay, 44 times in Scriptures. How many cat lovers? It's not good. Cats appear in Scriptures how many times? Zero. Well, I mean, cat family, you got the lion, right? Lion appears in Scripture. Satan is described as a lion. Okay? There we go. Just set the record straight. Cats are evil. Let's get back on track, okay? Sheep. Sheep are in the Scriptures 200 times. Sheep represent us, which is not necessarily a good thing, and we're going to just iron this out real quick. First of all, sheep are stupid. In the love of Jesus Christ here this morning, I'm here to tell you that you and I are stupid. Sheep are stupid. Let's face it, if you've ever been to a circus, you see trained elephants, you see trained bears, you see trained dogs, trained horses. You might even see a flea circus, but you will never see sheep in a circus. They're stupid. You could teach them a trick to play dead, but it only works once because you have to shoot them. Sheep are stupid. Four challenges I want to throw at you real quick. Four challenges of being sheep. You and I in the Scriptures are referred to as sheep, and we need to realize this. Until we realize that we are like sheep, we'll never realize our true need for a shepherd. Sheep, number one, sheep get lost easily. How many of you get lost easily? Even with the GPS on? Yes, okay? Sheep get lost easily. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We all wander our own way. We have ways that we want to do things. We don't care if it's wrong. We're going to do it our way, even if it gets us lost. I go down to Liberty, we were just down there again. I still have certain ways I like to go, even though they always end up putting me the wrong direction on the highway. I'm stubborn. We're going to get to that one next, okay? First of all, sheep get lost easily. Sheep are common. It's common for them to wander. Oh, wow, there's green grass. Oh, look at that. Oh, maybe this will make me happy. And the next thing you know, they're falling off a cliff. Sheep wander. They get lost, and they need a shepherd. In the very same way in life, we try many times to figure out how to have hope in life, how to meet our own needs, how to be happy, and we oftentimes just wander, and things don't get better, they get worse. Sheep without a shepherd get lost easily. Number two, sheep are defenseless. Almost every animal in the world has some kind of defense mechanism. Even cats, they can claw your eyes out, okay? Some animals have claws, some have fangs, some have strong legs and they can kick with, some have horns that they can stab you with. There are all kinds of defense mechanisms, but sheep, bad joke coming, okay? If you attack a sheep, what can it do? It can say, back off. The first service, someone said, that was a bad joke. It was a bad joke. I warned you. Okay? Sheep are defenseless. And then the same way you and I, we are just like sheep. Left to ourselves, we will find ourselves walking dangerous paths. Apart from the body of Christ, without the armor of God, away from the protection of the Good Shepherd, we are vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one in our life. And many of us can so easily be convinced by the lies of the evil one and led down a way that just leads to death and destruction. Sheep are defenseless and in need of a shepherd. Number three, sheep are stubborn. Look at the person next to you and say, I think he's talking about you on this one. Okay, only a few of you did that, proving my point. Okay, I just told you what to do and you were too stubborn to even do it, okay? But we're stubborn. I was watching some article years ago, and I was watching how this shepherd was leading this flock of sheep, and they were going through this rocky terrain, and this one particular sheep, the cameraman zoomed in on, and he was like walking and trying to walk in between these two rocks. Tons of clearing here, but he wanted to go this way, and he was just getting himself further and further stuck instead of backing around and going the other way. It's like they have no reverse mentality. How many of you are just like that? You find yourself walking into a mess, and as messy as it is, I don't care, I'm getting through it. I'm going this way. You can't convince me otherwise. That's what happens to many of us. We get ourselves into sticky situations, and we think we can just plow through on our own, and we're stubborn. And many times we end up making our life worse than it should have been to start with. We're stubborn, and we can be stupid. The next one is sheep are filthy. And the truth is that sheep cannot and will not clean themselves. They don't have the ability to clean themselves. And you're like, well, wait, I've seen a fluffy sheep on TV before. That dude was power washed, okay? Sheep are naturally filthy, dirty people. And all respect for each of us in here, but the truth is we are filthy, dirty people. The scriptures tell us that apart from God, we are nothing. We are sinful, we are filthy, and even our righteous acts are compared to God as filthy rags. Romans 3 says we all have sin in our lives, that none of us seek righteousness, none of us seek to do good. We continue to wallow in our own filth, walking our own way, and we need a shepherd to clean us. We cannot clean ourselves. We need the loving care of a shepherd in our life to clean us. Filthy sheep need a shepherd. And until we realize our need for a shepherd, we will continue to be dirty. Until we realize our need for a shepherd, we will continue to wander and be lost. We will continue to be stubborn. We will continue to make stupid mistakes. And that is why we need a good shepherd. And that's the hope of today's message today. And we're going to spend the next the portion of our time looking, instead of how challenging it is to be a sheep. We all are sheep. And my hope is you realize that. But in hope and knowing and realizing that, we can put our hope in a good shepherd. So let's go ahead and dive in to what does a good shepherd do. And by the way, maybe you haven't figured it out. There's notes for you. You can fill in these blanks if you want to in your handouts today. So the first one, and what does the good shepherd do is this. He guides. The shepherd is there to guide us. I want you to say it. Say, the shepherd guides. The shepherd does guide. In Psalm 23:3, it says this. He says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Have you ever in life found yourself facing a hard decision and you were stressed, you weren't sure what choice to make? As a follower of Christ, I want you to know that he cares for each and every decision. And my question is, have you prayed about it? Have you sought after him? If you seek after the Lord as your shepherd, he will lead you. He will guide you. He will guide you along the paths for his name's sake. He is there. He wants to lovingly guide you in the way that you should go. In John 10:3-4, it says this, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. The sheep recognize his what? His voice. And they come to him. He calls his own sheep by what? By name. And he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. You might be sitting there saying, you know, I've never heard the voice of God. Are you saying he speaks audibly? And you know, I've never heard the voice of God audibly either, but there have been so many times and circumstances and situations where God has spoke to me, where he has led me, where I knew that it was God's voice. And the truth is, as a young student, probably 7th, 8th grade, I was challenged to start being in God's Word daily. And every night before I go to bed, I would read a little bit of God's Scripture. And I got to know him, and I got to know his voice because I spent time with him. As you go through life, we can hear God's voice every day if we allow God's Word to be in our lives. God speaks to us through his Word. He'll speak to us through people, through circumstances, through situations. And if we listen for his voice, we will hear it. Have you ever been in a mall or a crowded situation where you got separated from your spouse or your friends or your children? It just happened to me last week. We were shopping, and I can't remember what for, maybe back to school clothes or something. And we were in some, I'm the only guy in a house with four women, okay? So we're often in girl stores, okay? I can't remember, it was like Charlotte Russe or something. And it was crowded, and I'm sitting there at the front, and I have no clue where my family is, and I'm looking for them, I can't find them, and all of a sudden I just decide, I'm going to just be still, and I'm just going to listen. And within 10 seconds, I heard their voices. I knew exactly where they were. I was able to follow their voice and walk straight back to them. In the same way, guys, if we spend enough time with God, it doesn't matter how crowded or how busy our life gets, if we become still and listen for his voice, we will hear it, and he will lead us, and he will guide us. You might be sitting there and say, well, I don't even know what God's voice would sound like. Then there's one of two things happening. Either you don't know God yet, and if that's the truth, I want you to know that you can leave here today with a relationship with Christ Jesus, knowing who he is. He knows you, and he knows you by name. And so either you don't know God or you just aren't spending enough time with him. You know, if I didn't spend much time with my kids and my wife, I wouldn't recognize their voice in that crowded situation. But because I live with them, because I love on them, because we live life together, I recognize them and I know their voice. In the same way, God wants that kind of life with us, where we are in each other's lives daily, getting to know his voice. He says, not only do they know his voice, but he calls them by name. And today I want you to realize how beautiful a picture this is, that God knows your name. Even if you don't believe in him, he still knows your name. He knows every single trial. He knows every struggle. He knows every hardship. He knows everything going on in your life. And he knows you by name. Some of the most beautiful stories in the Bible are Jesus calling on the name of Mary, or calling on the name of Peter, or calling on the name of somebody in his midst. And at that moment, their lives are transformed just by hearing the Savior say their name. Jesus says your name today as the Good Shepherd. He wants you, his sheep, to know that he loves you and knows, wants to know you intimately. So when you have struggles like, should I date this person in my life? Should I take that next job? Should I make this big decision? Should I join this church and have my family become a part of it? God cares about each and every detail, and he wants to help you make those decisions in life. He's not just some distant, removed God that just set this world in motion and walked away. He is here, and he loves every part of you, every detail in your life he wants to be involved in. He wants to guide you. He knows you by name. The second one, he provides. It goes on in Psalm 23, a very famous passage in Scripture. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In some versions it says, I will lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still or quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. What's encouraging about this is a number of things. First of all, have you ever seen a sheep lie down? How many of you have ever even seen a sheep in real life? Okay, I don't think I ever have. So I've never seen a sheep lie down. But what's often said is that in order for a sheep to lie down, there are really three things that have to be in place for a sheep to be restful enough and at peace enough to lie down. First of all, they have to be well fed, or they'll just keep wandering around looking for the next meal, okay? There has to be no tension among the flock. They can't be fighting. There can't be any disputes going on. And so the shepherd has to step in and keep them from fighting, keep them at peace with each other. And they have to feel safe. They have to know that the shepherd is there protecting them, keeping the wolves out of the flock. They have to know that there's peace. And when those three things are in place, then the shepherd can lead them to lie down. And this is what God wants to do in our life. He wants to help us realize that he is there to meet our every need, that we don't have to go hungry. In him, we can have all of life's needs met. The second thing is we need him to be involved in our lives to help us bring peace among ourselves, to help us to find forgiveness among one another. Some of our homes are in desperate need of a shepherd. Some of our homes, there is conflict, there is tension, there is struggle, and we need the shepherd to come in and set things at peace, to help find forgiveness, to help wounds be healed, to bring wholeness. And we need to know that even in the darkest of hours, Jesus is there as our good shepherd to walk with us and to keep us safe. Sheep won't lie down if they're hungry or hurt or fighting. In the same way, God wants to give us true rest, true peace. And in him as our good shepherd, we can find that rest. We can have our every need met. It goes on to say that he leads them beside still or quiet waters. Sheep won't, if you lead sheep to a rushing stream, they won't drink because they just can't swim. They're just not equipped for anything really in life, okay? That's how we are. That's the unfortunate story this morning is we need somebody else because we're not good enough of ourselves. And so these sheep, as they're led near rushing waters, they'll easily fall in and drown. But the shepherd leads them beside still and quiet waters. God knows exactly where to lead us. And the scriptures tell us that the still and the quiet water that we need in our lives, Jesus said, I am living water. And if you drink of me, you will never thirst again. Jesus in our life will quench our innermost thirst. If we're hoping to find our thirst, our quenched in the things of this world, we will always wind up thirsty. But Jesus is there to set us at rest, to give us the thirst, the quench of our thirst that we need. And this last one in this phrase is he refreshes my soul. Jesus is a great provider. The good shepherd is a great provider, not just taking care of our material and our physical needs, but also caring for us emotionally, caring for our souls spiritually. He is there to provide for us everything in this world that we need. Have you ever met someone who has everything together on the outside? A great home, cars, a good job. It seems like their things in their family are right, but inside you just know that they're struggling. They're just a mess. Some things just aren't right. And maybe some of you are in that situation. It seems like, okay, everything's fine, but I'm just wrestling on the inside. I'm not at peace. Jesus wants to give us that peace, that refreshment of our soul. There are other people in life that I've met who it may appear like everything on the outside is just falling apart. But somehow, they're just at peace. They're able to get through no matter what life brings their way, no matter what storm comes. They seem to be a rock that holds strong. In life, there can be all kinds of things. And unfortunately, we've had our share in our life with health and illness stuff. And my daughter Bailey and my wife Brandy, who's undergone 5 hip surgeries, 2 hip replacements, a disease that left her paralyzed for 6 months. But if you know her now, she's doing great. God carried us through some dark times. And in the midst of that, in the midst of my daughter being born and an emergency C-section, being rushed away from us, Apgar score of 3, which isn't good, being put under watch for the first 2 weeks of life, seizures, and them coming back to us, we're not sure if she'll ever walk. We're not sure if she'll talk. We're not sure if she'll be developmentally delayed. We just don't know. We don't have much hope to give you. But somehow in Christ, he refreshed our soul. He gave us hope in those dark times. He was there to be our shepherd. And now my daughter Bailey is a beautiful 18-year-old senior in high school. It's ready to conquer life. She's doing great. And we had our shepherd lead us through all of that. He's there to guide. He's there to provide. He's there to correct. Say, my shepherd corrects. One more time. Say it like you're happy about it. Okay. The truth is, as many of us, when we need correction, we're not very happy about it, are we? My kids never say, oh, Dad's correcting us. Praise the Lord. Hopefully he'll take our phone away next. They never celebrate discipline. Never any of us. I can't even talk anymore. At least I'm not coughing. We never celebrate discipline and correction. Sometimes it's hard. We don't want it. But the loving Savior, the loving Shepherd, loves us too much to let us just wander. Sheep are prone to wander, and they will wander away from the flock where wolves are waiting to just come in for the kill. They're ready. Sheeps have been known to walk right off a cliff. And the shepherd many times will just have to come in with that shepherd staff, with that hook, and grab a sheep before they get too far out of reach. They'll have to come in. And this is kind of a sad story if you think of it, but let me read this verse and it'll kind of bring it to light. Job 5, 17 through 18 demonstrates for us that we have a shepherd that loves us so much he's not going to let us wander. It says this. It says, blessed is the one whom God, what? Corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but he also is there to heal. And it seems odd that you would put these phrases together about a good shepherd, about a good loving God. He wounds, he injures, but he does this so that he can also give us what we need as he binds us up and as he corrects us and heals us. Another, I can't remember if I read about it or heard about it, but what's common around shepherds is if they have a lamb that's always wandering, oftentimes a shepherd will take their shepherd's staff and they will hit the leg of the lamb and break it. And that sounds cruel, but they'll take this little lamb as they're young and they'll break that leg and they'll put that lamb on their shoulders. And they'll carry that lamb around for weeks until that lamb is actually able to start walking on his own. And what happens is during that time when that lamb is now, that's been prone to wander, now is being carried day in and day out by that loving shepherd. That shepherd is now speaking and leading the other flock, and that sheep is getting to know his voice in an intimate and more personal way. And that shepherd is caring for that sheep as he tends to it, as he feeds it personally, because now that sheep depends on that shepherd for everything. And sometimes in life, God will allow us to have a broken leg to draw us close to him. God will allow us to have some struggle in our life to get us to a point where we have nowhere else to turn but to him. And my hope is that we will get that we will realize that God is there to lovingly discipline us when we need it. He is there to comfort us in our time of need. And sometimes we need that correction. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says this. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Our loving shepherd will correct us when we wander. He guides, he provides, he corrects, and he protects. Psalm 23, 4 through 6 says this. It says, even though I walk through the shadow of death or the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. My hope is that we come to realize that we have a God who is with us at all times and all places. He will never forsake us, even in our times of suffering. When you are with me, I will have nothing to fear. I can be at peace in my soul knowing that you are working all things together for my good as I am called by your name. I know that this can be hard to fathom at times, but even in our darkest of times, God is there to be with us, to carry us, to protect us, and to help us experience what it is that he wants us to experience in the midst of that struggle. He is there. It goes on to say that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this rod that a shepherd would use could be used to fend off an attacking wolf or another animal. It could be used to grab a wandering sheep by the hook and to pull him back. And even that rod could be used to be extended to pet a sheep just out of reach, to let that sheep know that that shepherd was right there. In the same way, God's loving rod in our life can be there to protect us as well as correct us. And God wants to be that source, that shepherd in our life. It goes on in verse 5, and he says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Even in the midst of a field where the shepherd might be with his flock of sheep, there will be predators and wolves and animals waiting to attack, but the shepherd on alert is able to let the sheep be at peace as he feeds them. Because they know that with the shepherd there, even though the enemy is out there just waiting for an opportunity, he can give them rest. In the presence of their enemies, he can feed them. In the same way, God is here to nurture us and give us what we need in the presence of our enemy. Another way that the shepherd would take care of them is by anointing the sheep with oil. This is a warning. It's kind of gross. But how many of you like flies? Okay. I don't see any hands up. Okay, flies are annoying, but imagine a fly going up your nose. Has that ever happened? Have you ever accidentally swallowed a bug? It's disgusting, okay? But imagine a fly laying eggs in your nose. Apparently, this is a problem in sheep, and the larva will hatch, the eggs will, yeah, you're starting to feel sick, aren't you? If you have to get up and go out, I won't be offended. But they'll crawl up into the brains of the sheep, and they'll make the sheep just go crazy to the point that the sheep want to just hit their head against a rock, even to the point of killing themselves. And so what they started using was anointing oil. Many times they would use oil to anoint people, to pray over people. And shepherds would use the oil as a lather on the sheep, to almost like a repellent to keep the bugs away. In the same way, Christ wants to come into our life and anoint our lives with his oil, with his blood that he shed for us, to keep the things out of our life that shouldn't be in there, that have a way of coming, creeping in and having things creep up in our life to drive us crazy and insane. Jesus wants to cover us with his protection and anoint us with his oil. It goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Before that, it talked about our cup overflowing. An old Palestinian tradition, if you were visiting, let's say your neighbor's house, you knew you were welcome as long as your wine cup had wine in it. If they wanted you to stay longer and the conversation was going well, they'd pour you another cup of wine. But if that cup began to empty and it wasn't getting refilled, you knew your time was up. Okay, I think it's time for us to be going. This verse tells us that in God's presence, our cup overflows. We will never wear out God's welcome. He will always want us in his presence. He will always be there for us and wants us there with him. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it says. As we close this morning, I wanted to have you look at a passage in Luke chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. This is probably one of the most encouraging things I can share with us this morning. That yes, as sheep, we are prone to wander and get lost. We are stupid and stubborn. We are filthy. But God is there, and we have hope in knowing we have a good shepherd that is there to guide, to provide, to correct and protect. And no matter what it is going on in your life, he is there and loves you, and he wants to care for you. If he had 99 sheep and only one had a problem, he would tend to the needs of that one. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, it says this. It says, suppose that one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he, the good shepherd, leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he brings it home. And this morning, my question is, are you that one sheep? Are you at a place in your life where you need the shepherd? Have you wandered into some things that you can't get your way out of? you've discovered that you're lost and you need direction? Are you going through some dark things? You know who the shepherd is, but you don't clearly see him right now in the midst of your situation, and you need to know that he's there. The hope is that that passage tells us that even if 99 are great and he knows you are struggling, he will leave the 99 to come after you, that one. Let's pray. As you look at your own life right now, I want you to know that you have hope. Hope is here in the form of the Good Shepherd. If you've got yourself in some sticky situation where you know you're not living according to God's will, you don't have to continue being stubborn. Let the shepherd lead you down the right path. He will lovingly take you on his shoulders and put you in the right direction. Will you just accept it? Will you let him lead you? If you're here this morning and you would say, yes, I know the shepherd. He's my shepherd. But maybe you know you've wandered a bit. Maybe you know you're in a sticky situation where you know you need the loving shepherd to lead you back to the right direction. So that I can pray for you, will you just raise your hand and say, yeah, I need more of the shepherd in my life right now. I see that hand. I see many hands. God, right now I pray for those who have their hands up that would say, yes, God, I need you. I know you are my shepherd, but I'm not where I need to be as a sheep. And I pray, God, that you would help me to allow you to pick me up and put me on your shoulders and to love on me through this time. Point me in the right direction. Help me to make the right choices. God, help me to know that you're there to lead me and to love me and to guide me and to correct me and to protect me. God, help me to follow you. Your job as the shepherd is to guide me. Mine is to follow. Help me to follow. God, I also pray for those in this room, if there is just one here, even just one, who does not yet know you as the great and loving shepherd, I pray their heart would be open even now. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would come in and help them experience the love that you pour out. So if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor John, I don't know that I've ever really believed fully in Jesus. I don't know that I could call him my shepherd. Well, today you can, and my hope is right now, right here, you would say, okay, I give in. I ask Jesus to come into my life. I ask him to become my shepherd. You know, the scriptures tell us that he did lie down his life for us. He took our place on a cross, that we and our sin were lost and away from the loving shepherd. But Jesus put himself in our place when he died on a cross for us. And he said, if you simply believe in me, come to me. I will lead you. I will make you new. I will save you and you will be mine. And in a moment, right now, you can pray out and call out to the Father and say, yes, God, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. Come into my life and make me yours. And you can pray that prayer right now. Will you all pray with me? Just say this. Say, dear God, come into my life. Lead me. Be my shepherd. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. I want to follow you. Forgive me for my sins and make me new. Father God, I pray for those in this room who prayed that prayer possibly for the very first time in their life, that they just entered into a relationship with you as their good and their loving shepherd. God, I pray that they would be drawn to you, that they would spend time in your word getting to know you. God, that they would become a part of this church body and become closer with others who can help them discover more about you. God, pour your love into our lives and help us to follow you. God, I thank you for who you are and for all you're doing in our lives. Help us to walk more closely with you. Look up at me. We're going to take communion here in a minute. If you are in a situation right now, maybe as a family, where the shepherd needs to come in and help you get forgiveness, maybe as a family, you're in a situation where you need some healing between you and somebody else in this room, my encouragement is before you come up and take communion, that you would maybe go to them and ask them to pray with you. I'm not saying everything can be fixed and healed in a moment, but God can meet you in that moment and begin that process. So before you come forward today, we're about to take communion. I encourage you to pray about the things that God is touching your heart. Is there a sin? Is there something you're stuck in, that you need him to correct you. Don't just ignore that. Let God meet you in this moment and lead you through it. We have prayer teams in the back ready to pray with you if you want to pray with someone. I would love to pray with you up here at the front, especially if you gave your heart to Christ this morning. Let one of us know. And then as you're ready, I'll invite you to come up and remember that all of this is only possible because Christ's body was broken for us. As we take a piece of bread as a symbol of the body of Christ broken for us, we dip it in this cup of juice, a symbol of the blood of Christ shed for our sins. And we remember that we live for him because he died for us. And this is for all those who are a part of the sheepfold. If you know the shepherd, we invite you to come and remember what Christ did for us. And if you're not a part of the sheepfold, become one today. Invite Christ in. Let us pray with you. God, I pray that you move in our midst. Heal us. Lead us. Guide us. Show us our next step. In your name I pray. I pray that you just respond now as you feel led. If you don't know what else to do, come up. I'll pray with you. We'll figure it out together. Let's pray.